This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. We have today a conversation with Dr. Willie McLaurin, Vice President for Great Commission Relations and Mobilization at the Southern Baptist Convention. And we're so grateful to have him as our guest today, talking about the cooperative program. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation, Chris.
Well, tell us a little bit about your role at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Sure thing. So I'm in my 161st day in my new role, and my new role is Vice President for Great Commission Relations and Mobilization. And I know it says a whole lot. And what that really means is I've got a team of folk who are working with our ethnically and racially diverse churches, and they are working to build deep relationships resulting in those ethnic and racially diverse churches being mobilized in every level of Southern Baptist life. And so that's one component of that. That relations component involves us connecting with our 41 state conventions, 1,100 associations, and all of our other ministry partners. The other side of that team is the team that focuses directly on educating and promoting Southern Baptists about the cooperative program. And then we also have the responsibility of leading our stewardship efforts for the Southern Baptist Convention. And so when you hear Great Commission Relations and Mobilization Team, in a snapshot, that's what our team is about.
It sounds like just about every vital conversation that's going on in the Southern Baptist Convention is running across your desk at this moment.
I'm sure. And all other duties as a sign, right?
That's right. That's exactly. So, and we were excited because you were going to be coming before COVID broke out. You're going to come and do a cooperative program summit, and we still are hoping to have that sometime in October, to be announced in the future. But we've been very excited about your new role as you've come to the executive committee, and Oklahoma Baptists have been partnering with you and some other states on this Creative Confab. Could you explain a little bit about what we've been doing together?
Yeah, so the Creative Confab is a group of ministry leaders who, in my opinion, they understand culture, they understand church, they understand communication, and they understand the cooperative program. So this group understands that mission matters. And so they are a trusted group of partners, which you are a part of that group. So I'm grateful for you, Chris, been a part of that group. But they are trusted partners that assist the SBC Executive Committee in prioritizing, elevating, and accelerating a cooperative program in a way that's healthy, and then the way that helps us keep our missionaries on the field.
You know, and the cooperative program is such a vital part of how Southern Baptists do their job. And we recently talked to the IMB, an IMB missionary from Southeast Asia. And we did a poll with them, a survey of the factors that bring a Southern Baptist missionary to the understanding their calling. And we found that just about every single one of those things that God used to help them discern their calling was touched by the cooperative program, either the local church or the cooperative program. And there's so much going on in the cooperative program issue-wise, as far as like we have this new generation that's coming up. There's an aging population that grew up very, very loyal, another generation that's still not quite. There's so many options and things like that. And then, of course, in Oklahoma, we have our economic factors that, you know, have impacted us. And then on top of all that, we had to add coronavirus and all these churches unable to meet for, I think it's like 6-7 weeks that we've been out, you know. And to think about, we would have been at the annual meeting together at this time.
That's right.
Yeah, we're recording this at a day the annual meeting would have been going on. That had to be postponed. I mean, I'm just giving a little bit of a list of the things that have impacted. How has coronavirus impacted your role at the executive committee?
So, Chris, today, as we're thinking about coronavirus, man, you know, I'm in my office here in Nashville, Tennessee, and man, I was looking forward to being in Orlando, Florida. In fact, I was excited about the annual meeting and then was going to spend some time with my family at Disney World. But the tough decision was made to cancel the SBC annual meeting. And the first time that has been done in 75 years. And so I'm hoping the next time they cancel that annual meeting, hopefully I'll be in heaven with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we had several things that we were looking to highlight at this year's annual meeting. Number one, Dr. Floyd was going to be sharing Vision 2025, which was just a unified vision for Great Commission work. And we were also looking to release a stewardship resource that we can put in the hands of every church to assist them in the area of stewardship. So typically, our team is in meetings. We're working at the annual meeting. And so now we're trying to take advantage of this season and hit the reset button and get ready for annual meeting 2021.
You know, all the looking forward to the future, and there's so many things we just like anticipating. And as we're looking right now at the impact, we're hoping to start turn the corner on cooperative program giving. What has been the impact of COVID on cooperative program that from your end? What are y'all seeing?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously, when I think about the impact, I think about the impact from the perspective that we had 9/11 and we saw some of the challenges that we faced there. We experienced a recession, and now here's another significant event called coronavirus, COVID-19. If I could share good news, the good news was we had already completed the first 6 months of our fiscal year, and we were tracking about 2.5 to 3% ahead. So we were making some pretty good strides. And we knew that we were going to be experiencing just some of the financial impact from just churches not gathering. And so to date, what we've seen is we've experienced about a 3% drop in overall gifts compared to the previous year's budget. We are predicting overall about a 20% drop in gifts, but we are encouraged, and we are encouraged because churches are opening back up. And I know that Southern Baptists always keep mission at the forefront. And so we're really confident that our Baptist churches will continue to be faithful as they've been for 95 years, faithful in giving their gifts to the local church and those gifts forwarded on for Great Commission work so we can keep our missionaries on the field. And so we really feel like in July and August, we're going to see an uptick because churches are gathering back together again.
You know, we looked at ours here in Oklahoma. We found that actually there were about 30% that did experience an increase. So it's not that universally that all churches experienced a decline. It's about 42% experienced some kind of decline. Yeah. And I wonder if some churches are maybe they were being conservative and holding back and seeing where things go. And you know, now's the time to release that money. Be generous. Release that the money that they maybe were being conservative about, and so you know, preferably we'll see more impact. Do you have any advice for those pastors that are experiencing financial, giving declines in their churches?
You know, Chris, one size really doesn't fit all. You know, every church has a different set of circumstances. You know, when I think about, you know, what do you say to pastors and churches? I would say, number one, I'd say just really beef up your communication. One of the things that I'm sensing, even in the church that we are members of, we just discovered that our church was communicating but they were not communicating as clearly as they could. And so upping your efforts in communicating current reality, communicating the church's mission, the vision, and the values. And so not taking it for granted that people understand the needs that your church has. So as a church leader, I would encourage pastors and church leaders, first of all, to communicate your current reality. Just be honest with the congregation about here's where we're at. Because when people have good, valid information, they're able to make some good decisions and choices as it relates to how they will continue to contribute. So communicate current reality, but then I would encourage churches to communicate their Great Commission vision. Communicate a vision for the future. In fact, the scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And then I would also create a vision that takes us beyond coronavirus and begin to talk about what the future will look like. So the first thing I would encourage churches to do is just communicate. The second thing I would encourage churches to do is get a community of people around you. If you are a pastor listening to this podcast, get some of your most trusted church members to be around you and receive wisdom and receive advice and receive their input. It's interesting. One thing about the pastor is that you control nothing, but you're responsible for everything. And so I would encourage pastors to get some people around them and get good wisdom. The Bible says that in a multitude of counsel, there is safety. And when you have those people around you, get their input on what some of the next steps are to be. And then the third thing I would do, I would encourage pastors and churches to tap into creativity. Crisis is the bump that moves us from our comfort zone to our creative zone. And so I would say that if you would communicate where you're at, involve as many people as possible in understanding the needs, and then use this as a season to move beyond your comfort zone and to begin to be creative in how you do ministry. Some churches, they realize that they have a mortgage on their facility. And so some churches have contacted their mortgage company, and their mortgage company has given them 3 months kind of a deference. And so that frees up some cash flow. Some churches have eliminated their contracts. And so any outside contracts, maybe for lawn care or cleaning contracts, they've kind of eliminated those non-essential expenditures. And then churches have mobilized volunteers to lead ministries that perhaps in the past that they may have used budgeted funds for. But I cannot emphasize enough creativity, thinking outside the box, and painting a picture for the future when you come back, and take advantage of this season to say, you know what, the changes that we are experiencing, they're not just changes that are going to happen for the next 4 or 5 months. These are changes that we're going to have to live with and accept that these are the new norm.
You know, our churches, you know, when you say creativity and get creative, in the past, it might have been like, you know, just something you say, you know, maybe get creative. But like churches have really had to get creative, like in how they lead worship, how they do small groups, how they do visitation, even stuff like hospital visitation for a while there was like impossible. Funerals, everything. So there's so much, so many things that we used to do to take that we took for granted that we're reconsidering and recalibrating. That's also forgiving, you know. And I think a lot of churches were hesitant to use online giving or hesitant to even transfer their money using ACH transfer to the convention. And so, digital giving. And are you seeing that? Or around the country, or hearing about other, you know, other creative examples where people have tried to basically kill a sacred ox to get something done?
Well, you know, to be quite honest, I talk to pastors all the time, and some pastors just out of desperation mode said, man, we have got to do the online giving. And for some pastors, this has been the perfect storm. They've been preaching and encouraging the church to move to an online giving platform, and this has been the perfect opportunity for that to happen. And those who have moved toward that, what I'm hearing from pastors now, they're not only encouraging people to give online, but they're encouraging their members to have reoccurring gifts. And so to set up this idea where your gifts are automatically, regularly drafted out of your account. And so I'm seeing that happen all over the place. Now, I will say there have been a handful of folk who I've spoken to in some of the rural areas. Some of their members don't have internet. They don't have all of the technology. And so they've been creative. You know, they've had members to leave their gift in the mailbox, and one of the church officers will stop by, pick it up out of the mailbox, or they'll have an opportunity for people to drive by the church and drop off their gifts. I'm convinced of this, Chris. Church members love their church. They're concerned about their church, and they're going to do everything that they can to get their gifts to the church. And I think the leaders just have to be creative enough to understand their context, understand their culture, and do whatever is necessary to facilitate that process.
Well, you know, people are, I think you could say safely say that people won't be as likely to take their church for granted.
That's right.
In the future. And the missionary motto, be flexible, has, you know, we've said it before on mission trips, but man, are we having to be flexible now. And I admire you. Like, I mean, how many days did you say you've been? This is what day of?
Day 161.
161. Before that, you were at the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board.
Yes, sir.
And and leading there, you take this new role. Of course, all these changes. And then a tornado comes through Nashville, where you live, and just devastates the metro area. I mean, I'm laughing. I'm not laughing. I'm laughing nervously. And then COVID, and then now we have all these other unrest. Yeah. So I admire you. I'm encouraged by your example and your steady hand and all this. And from where you're sitting, I mean, it's kind of hard given all that. It's very clear that everything's unpredictable these days. But from where you're sitting, best you can tell, where are things going? What's going to happen in the Southern Baptist Convention? Lay it on us, Willie.
Well, you know, I'm encouraged really by where we are at. You know, one of the things that I've been saying to everybody that I've been talking to is that the tornadoes and the pandemic and all of the issues that are happening in our country, they didn't catch God by surprise. He is still on the throne. And the way I say it is our circumstances and our situations don't stop God from being God. And if they do stop God from being God, then the God that you're serving is too small. A week ago today, what we did was we had what we call SBC Advance. And I want to encourage you to check that out. It's about 120 minutes of where we had reports from all of our entities. There's no way that we could replace the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting, but the SBC Advance was an opportunity for Baptists to hear from all of our entity leaders and to be encouraged by what God is doing. I'm hearing really good reports about churches that are winning people to Christ. Recently, the annual church profile came out, and it did show that, you know, as a denomination, that we were declining in some places. But I'm encouraged that there are state conventions and there are churches that are baptizing more people now than ever before. So the future is rooted in the fact that we have always been a Great Commission people. We've been a Matthew 28 people. We've been an Acts 1 and 8 people. We've been a Matthew 16 people. We've always kept the gospel at the forefront. And so I'm encouraged that through this season, we will continue to remain focused. We will not retreat. Pastors will continue to preach the word of God. Churches will continue to baptize. And we'll continue as a denominational entity. We'll continue to be good stewards of those resources and make sure those resources are forwarded on so we can keep our missionaries here at home and around the world on the field. And I think it was D.T. Studd that said it best. He said, the light that shines the farthest is the one that shines the brightest at home. So I'm really encouraged by the leaders that we have in place, Dr. Floyd, all of our seminary presidents and all of our entity leaders, Dr. Chitwood and Dr. Rozelle. And I'm really excited about the days ahead. And I say it boldly today that I believe that our best days are still ahead of us. And I'm excited to be a part of this season, Chris.
Well, thank God. Yes. And as long as we keep our focus on advancing the gospel, you know, we can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right.
Dr. McLaren, so appreciate your time today and
everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today. And I want to thank you for joining us. And you can find more conversations like this one on our website at baptistmessenger.com or wherever you download podcasts.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.